now the historical pattern of migration, how it improved in terms of age ratios within an apartment. A few words on portable that we can use, and then also on the current status, what the composition looks like, and also on future plans. But in terms of the aim of the energy system, it's very important to understand that it's a two-fold aim. First of all, to rejuvenate both the South African National Defence Force regulars and reserves from the bottom up. We grow our own timber, thereby at the same time enhancing the South African National Defence Force operational readiness with more young and fit members. The second aim is at the same time to give people some functional and life skills that present members with a competitive edge in the open labor market. When we compare them to normal school leavers, we immediately enter the labor market after school. Madam Chair, honorable members, the military skills development system, as introduced in January 2003, formed part of career stage one of the new three-tier service system for the military as envisioned through HR-27. The MSD has received good publicity in the media up to now. There is continuous interest from other state departments in the military skills development system as we start growing it. A good example is, for instance, the Department of Public Works, who participated in this scheme with plus minus 50 people annually, as well as the Department of Correctional Service. Probably the wireless connection. How does it link with HR 2020? Madam Chair, honourable members, when we started with HR 2010, we identified a few challenges within HR 2010. Like, for instance, the mismatch in terms of service ratios, rank age ratios, health status, representativity, etc. The aim of HR 2010 is to move to a more HR composition that of the right quality, right quantity, and right time. There are a lot of enablers that help us in doing so and imperatives. But in the middle of this is a block, the desired end state of HR Strategy 2010. And at the top of those desired end states is the new way that members serve in the department, as well as the rejuvenated SANDF HR company. And Madam Chair, honorable members, that's exactly where the MSD system links into HR Strategy 2010, to rejuvenate the post and the new way that members serve. Madam Chair, with that in mind, the military hierarchy calls for a number of young, fit, healthy members at the bottom. If we think of the inter-army, the infantry capability, that's what you need at the end of the day. And as you move up the hierarchy, it becomes steeper because you need lesser people in the senior ranks. And if we think of the age line, 18 years of age up to 60, 0 years of service up to 42 years of service, we find the military skills development system at the entry point here, where young school leavers come in at the age of 18 and they serve for a 2-year period. Then the next step is the second career stage, is where members then serve in the core service system. Now, the military skills development system, the envisage is that they will consist of, roughly speaking, 17.5% of the regular, while the core service system, 50% of the regular. Both those two systems are implemented through HR 2010, and we will see the figures later. The last career stage, the senior career stage, which will consist of 12.5%, is not implemented. So, Madam Chair, that's where that blue block, where the military skills development system fits in as the desired impact of HR 2010 to rejuvenate the force. far as marketing and recruitment is concerned, we target the current grade 12 school leavers, although also graduates, but I think we can improve on that. So the minimum school qualification is grade 12, young youth, between the age of 18 and 22 years of age, and graduates currently 26 years of age. Honourable members, Madam Chair, recruitment is done according to each service HR plan and a recruiting target that is set per year according to budget. Members can only come in through the four services: Army, Air Force, Navy, and Military Health Service. Marketing team is done by the DOJSB by advertising in the printed media. We focus on recruiting drives in all provinces, concentrating at school level as well as tertiary educational institutions. At least four schools are visited per day through such recruiting drives. Out of school youth are reached over weekends by our personnel acquisition director. DOD career opportunities are also marked at career exhibitions, shows, and some general information sessions. There are several talk shows on local radio and even television programs that specifically concentrate on the youth. Obviously, we also have a facility where applicants can walk in and apply to join the military through the MSDS. Marketing amongst the internal DOD public, who also market the system as a user. We also have partnerships with the National Youth Commission, the Department of Education, and local government to assist in the marketing drive. Madam Chair, the following indicates the life cycle and utilization of training of a military skill development manager. In green, Madam Chair, that's where we market and communicate by SAMDS units through the different ways they communicated by the director, human resource acquisition. Then they select the people and they appoint them through the four services as indicated by director, personnel acquisition. And then if selected, the members' 2-year military service starts in the military. In year one, they report currently in the SA Army at two places, Kimberley Freeside and the Infantry School at Oshawa. The Air Force and the Air Force Gymnasium, in the Navy at Saldana, and staff at Talbot Swan, the Training Academy of the Military Health Service. After reporting, they immediately start with their basic military training to become a soldier. After basic military training, that's in the region of 3 months, they proceed with a functional training to be trained in the specific direction as an infantry, as an armor person, or whatever other mastery of professional classes for the other person. Obviously, we also train some junior leaders from the MSD, and they are selected and they start their junior leader training, for instance, in the case of the Army at the Army Gymnasium at Heidelberg. After their first year of training, some students even move on in their second year, the officer groups, to the military academy to do the certificate in military studies. The troops are utilized and deployed. And currently, we have a big number of MSDS members that even deployed in their second year in terms of our deployment in institutions. Madam Chair, after the 2 years, it's a very important selection process where you select the people into the regular system as a full-time member to be trained and utilized further. But the idea was also that this system will feed the reserve system, where people then will be further trained on a 30-day basis and utilized in the reserve system, because the intention was also to rejuvenate the reserve system. But let's see what happened since we implemented the MSDS system. On the slide we see per year, 2003 up to 2007, we started with just over 2,000 members, another 2,000 in 2004, and then we increased it to 4,387, 4,762 in 2006, and now close to 4,207. There's still manner what this indicates, there was a big need in the three first three insects to rejuvenate the regular. That's why the phoenix is in the flesh. But you also see in the green color here, the lemon that exited after 2 years. And we see the numbers is not big due to the need for the rejuvenation of the regular. But that picture will change. You also see at the bottom the number of people after they joined exited the system through recognition before the 2 years are completed. That same picture that is carrying the sentence. We see therefore that the rusty seed in the region of 70-73% migrated to the foster. And rusty seed in between 12-17% of the people exited the system after their 2 years. And roughly speaking, in the region of 10, now it's a little bit down. We say something about our recruitment members resigned before the end of the season. As you can see, the bigger majority is still serving in the MSD system of the 2006 and 2007 system. Balance here, yes, maybe what it did to rejuvenate the military. Our aim is to get our private, our troops between the age of 18 to 24. In 2003, December 2003, in fact, the department is an all-time low of 8.2% private between that age 18 to 24. We increased that from 8.2% to the current 2007, 50.2% of private between that age. And that is a success story in terms of the MSD system. More than 10,000 of our clients currently between the young age bracket. But I'm saying, honorable members, a few words on training the military skills development. The basic military training where people come in consists of role, musketry, field trials, military organization, best regulations, as well as other subjects that we see in red, fully portable, the blue part in effect, wisdom adaption, and limited portability. Tell them about civic education, military legal, occupational health and safety, military shield, security, service body, they participate in sport, very important to get into teamwork, personal mastery, water safety, life skills, first aid, and memories, to become a basic soldier. Now what is the portability of those? To the left we see the curriculum from civic education and we see what it means to give you better citizenship. Military legal tell you to understand the legal process. Occupational health and safety, what is the safety in the workplace? So there is a big portability compatibility. Military security about personal security. Service condition. To understand that in terms of future employment, sport, teamwork, personal mastery, water safety, life skills, first aid, 100% transferable in terms of portable. Mastery, handling of a weapon, and mastery needs also some portability. When it comes to portability in terms of the functional skills after the 3 months, we find that the training within the South African Military Health Services, basically all the different mastery, is compatible with the private sector. Artists of training, working in the South African Air Force and the Navy, HR practitioners training, supply and support services, status, even in the ammunition corps and community are possible. But people also learn their functional training from driver training and assessment to become engineers in the engineer corps. Tactical intelligence, communication, musicians, protection, and combat mastery. The South African Navy. However, when it comes to the hard combat environment of the infantry, the armor corps, the artillery corps, the air defense facilities, the gunners in the South African Navy, you need some adaption to say that the first is full portable skills in personal training. When it comes to utilizing these men, they must work as teams, they must apply interpersonal skills, experience. Sometimes they even work with the South African police service and customs. And that's where they learn also to gain some knowledge to work as a disciplined soldier in teams, which is often teaching people something. Let us continuously agent with government and private sector employers to place former MSD members. And the second thing for the defense road duties, all duties of the department, encourage them to make use of this opportunity. And as people, Madam Chair, those who employ outside to become and understand the MSD system and what it means to these youngsters, they become more and more on board. But we believe we must do more. And in the latest budget, we put an application in to budget 13,500 rand for an individual from the town 2018 to concentrate even on more portable skills to transfer people, specifically as we grow the numbers and they go to the reserve to give them some of those skills. Let us hear the current state. What we see on the next slide is the composition of the total South African Defence Force full-time component, 77,000. Currently the MSD system is 11% or 8,452 of the total other service system component. We see the force service system also already grown to 24% or 18,000. A big number of them came from the MSD system. The intention is to grow this, as previously indicated, to 17.5%. The majority of people served in the SA Army, obviously, current of the 8,452 to 5,892. 966 to the Air Force, 11%, Navy 687, and TAM 907. Here we see where it also served in the other division. So we see here the four services, and after their training, the members in the HR division, logistics division, CMI, and even some people in the joint operations and relatives to these division. Where people serve, obviously, a number of these people are employed in operations while they serve in the Army Air Force Station. Madam Chair, here we see the number of people who migrated after their 2 years. That's also important, because we said the emphasis was now to rejuvenate the regulars. The numbers who migrated to the force services. Since we started, a total of 6,691 out of 8,001, that means close to 80% MSD members who completed their 2 years of service have already translated to the force services and included these numbers communicated in the ground. Where do they serve? And here we see the three groupings, and we see a number of people are serving the combat force mustering of the Army, Air Force, Navy, and SAM, even members in the technical environment and members in the support environment. In terms of Madam Chair, what happened there was the Navy, they bring them all in as seamen, and seamen is sacrificed into a combat environment, but after the 2 years, a lot of people are also migrated to the technical environment for the Navy, but only after the 2 years. So after the 2 years. Zero in technical and zero in support, 87 in profit. Madam Chair, in terms of the race composition, since well, for those members who currently serve, what we see here is the comparison of the 8,432, 7,160, 85% Africa, 10% colored, 869, Indian, 38, and white, 5%, 385. In comparison to the total DOD base composition, it stands currently 67% African, 30% colored, 90% white, and 1% Indian. We did very well, Madam Chair, in terms of gender composition of the MSD compared to the rest of the department. The 8,452 is 31% female. 2,603 of the 8,452, 69% male compared to 4% tumor in the total DOD, including our surveillance of focus sites, and 76%. So we're on the way to grow tumor competition also through the MSD. Let us hear in terms of
the issue of frequency that you put into aquatic oxygen.
Madam Chair, it's possible to do it in that way. I don't have it working, but it's possible. Madam Chair, in terms of future plans, the department is busy with contingency plans to grow the military skills development system in bigger numbers. The National Treasury also came on board to fund certain initiatives up to now in terms of the MSDA. And I'll tell you what we see on the slide is the financial year cycle, 2003, 6 and 7. They contributed the third financial year towards the MSDA system. So the figures we invest in the second year, for the current year, we received 382 million. When up to 538 million in next financial year and up to 732 million for 9, 10, and 2. Those monies went mainly to the SA Army as initiatives and staff. But what's important that it says is that the 382 million allocated for the India can only buy a total of 3,350 MSDS members, while the current strength 1692 serving MSDSs. So technically speaking, if we look at India, the UD fund from its own resource, over 5,000 MSDS members, while 3,000 are funded by the National Security Program. As we move on to the future years, 4719 and 6,666. The department wants to grow its military skills development system into next year by going for a January 2018 intake of 5,000 members. And then from January 2009 to a 10,000 intake. The figures include the number of months that they will serve in that specific financial year. But despite the allocation from National Treasury of 538 million, we need an additional 777 million to grow towards the 5,000 January 08 and the 10,000 January 09. We will bring into the system at any given time 10,000 to 15,000. As we can see in 9-10, January 09 is 10, January 10-10, and we continue through that figure, and there indicates the amount that's needed to run such a type of program. Madam Chair, what's also important, into that red figure of 770.89, going up to 1.5 billion in 9-10, and then in the region of 2 billion in 10-11, also includes the members when they finish their 2 years, because with a 10,000 intake, 7,500 members will exit the reserves to rejuvenate the reserve system. But you must also train them in the reserve system. So costing to run it as a total package, 2 years MSD, plus proper reserve force utilization and training, are included as a package in this cost. Madam Chair, yes, then, per service and division, the actual breakdown of the 2006 intake, 4,300, 2007, 3,782. In green is the future plan with any additional funds. So we see down to 4,800 and then it's in a region of 5,000 from 2016 onwards. But in order to get a 5,000 intake for January 8 and a 10,000 intake from January 09, that is the number of figures that will go towards the SA Army. 10,000 of 10,000, 71 to the Army, 1,100 to the Air Force, 793 to the Navy, and just over 1,000 to the South African Military Health Service. Madam Chair, in comparison, Here's the funding option. We need two options where we already proceed with the 10,000 in January 08, followed by 10,000 annual intake thereafter. The preferred option for the department is a January 08 5,000 intake, followed by a 10,000 annual intake thereafter. And there we see the price is 400 million a year, 777, 1.5, 2, 2.6, and 2.7 as a total system, including the reserve utilization. Madam Chair, the expansion to a 10,000 intake from the current, roughly speaking, 4,500 intake will also mean that the department needs an expansion of post-establishment tables from the current of 12,000 people, because currently we have 8,000 people in the system. With a 10,000 intake, we'll have 20,000 people in the system. But you also need some instructive support personnel to deal command and control-wise with support personnel with such an intake. It will mean 20,000 NSD systems versus a 15,000 required by the Defense Update 2006, although that's not a major challenge. You need more junior leaders to be trained at sub-unit level. From the current MSDS intake, grow your own number from the MSDS system. Strategic business plans and budgets and ASAP programs need to be amended. A shorter procurement process in terms of uniform ammunition to train these people and to build the capacity are needed. It also requires urgent repair and preparation of facilities, infrastructure, and prime mission equipment. Command enforcement of support functions are required, as well as an expanded medical support required to match the expanded footprint for such intake. We want to build the reserve system through this, and therefore the reserve unit need to be involved from day one in the recruiting process to start and ensure that the reserve as a feeder service system work through its full cycle of the life cycle of the MSDS system. And if we need to do that, we indicated the 4 million requirement is in here already to kickstart such type of intake. We need some indication already by 30 June if that would be possible. The Minister of Defense already signed the CAP memo in this regard. Clusters are sensitized to the presidency's office, and we should foresee that there will come presentations to these forums in time to come once approved by cabinet. Madam Chair, honourable members, in conclusion, the MSD has brought about significant improvement in the SANDF rank profile, specifically at the lower levels, leading to an enhanced operational readiness, as we saw from 8.2% to 52.7%. More than 70,000 young South Africans completed or are busy completing the MSD program since its inception in January 2003. The MSD has presented new opportunities for the UD to form partnerships with other departments, the private sector, for employment and leadership of young South Africans. And we're very positive that we can build on this as the employers become more aware of the MSD system. Expansion of the MSD intake with required funding is one of the contingency plans that's currently underway to give more opportunities to young South Africans. The MSD is an established feature of the RSA Youth Commission and development capability and will continue to be enhanced. Madam Chair, that in short is our presentation. There was an indication that there's a requirement, where do we stand with the exit mechanism? I can maybe show a few figures. About a year ago, we indicated that since we implemented the mobility exit mechanism, that we were on, it was 1,200 during our last briefing. We move on. MEM approved and EISP, which is the civilian equivalent of the package, employee-initiated package, currently approved by the Ministry in total, is now 2,018. The rate breakdown is 7.4% applicants, which is 3% indicated, talent 6%, and 85% from the white population. the age breakdown, and we saw it more towards the older people that stagnate. And if we look at the last slide, we see towards the 68 mark, 11%, 84%, 5%, and also 8% even the people with the mid-career stagnation that make use of this opportunity. And then also lastly, indicated by service, you see the bigger numbers is looking at the Army, also with the Air Force, and the other two service. The breakdown, third financial year, since we implemented 2056, 553, 0607 over 1,000, and in the end year, 0708, that figure will grow as the financial year continues, 453, without even a clear number, into up to the 2008, 9 financial year. Let us say thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I know it's very difficult to keep up with discussing with the politician and with mechanism because the intention was to get both the reflection of the document, but we'll deal with the second document later. Then can I have an indication of the second? Honorable Kurnov, Honorable Seku, Honorable Daniel, Honorable Jobu, Honorable Boy, Honorable Bonari Kinder, Honorable Tud. Honorable Kurnov.
Thank you, Chair. I doubt whether anybody in the committee will differ with the scope of this presentation or with the conclusion. I think it's a wonderful idea, it's a workable idea, I hope, and I think we can associate ourselves with both what you intend to do and what you've started out to do. I'm extremely concerned when I look at your financing of this program, because we've seen it before. It's good, there are good plans on the table, and now you have to balance out whether your plans are too ambitious or too over the top versus your affordability. You can have the most wonderful, ambitious plan. If it's not affordable, you're going to come back and report every year you couldn't afford it. So my first question is, you're building up within the next 7 years, we're building up a shortage of 3 billion rand just on this MSD, multi-skills development program. I'm trying to get the link between your ambition, your wish list, your plan that you've started to execute, and the affordability where you need in one of your slides every year increasing additional funding from national treasury. I can't link the two issues together. My second question is, when I don't get the feeling, how are you going to stimulate the reserve forces? You talk before a one force concept, but I don't see the numbers coming through in your MSD system over the next 7 years, substantially rejuvenating reserve forces. I heard it somewhere in your presentation, but I don't see it. Where it's coming through. And then my last question, your basic military training. I fully agree with all the contents and your program, but what percentage of the military skills development basic training, what percentage are being devoted to functional training? In other words, the basic skills of infantry, artillery, armor, or whatever the case for your navy, what percentage of your basic military training are devoted to functional training versus the rest of what you've listed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Pepper.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose that I would like to understand what you mean by rejuvenation. I'm not quite understood the word whether it really refers to strengthening or to increasing. I've not quite understood that. Then there is the question of academic education and the training. Can we be enlightened as to what the question of engineers that have been trained, and we know that in the past, particularly in the African community, there was not much science taught, and engineering is one of those skills that would require people who have taken some science, relevant science. I would like to know what progress are we making in that field? Are we experiencing any difficulty? Are there great numbers of people really coming into engineering? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I think that
the
Chair. Yes, Chair, I agree also. We are creating a security-aware society by the indication of intake of the MSc. But in slide 9, I just want to know what is the criteria used, because I see other MSCs are going to reserve, others are going to regular full-time force. What kind of criteria is used for others to go the other way and the others going to the other side? I just want to understand that. I'll also follow up on the mastery. More especially, I'm interested in the Navy and in the Air Force. I would really be interested in numbers. Engineers, divers, pilots, that question will also relate with women. Yes, there is improvement of intake of women, but in the mastery, how many women are there? Again, what the Honorable has already mentioned about the what you envisage to do. There's on slide, I don't see the number of the slide, but there's something about intake. 2008-2009 will be taking 10,000. Now, it was mentioned that they will be trained for 3 months. What do you hope to achieve in 2 months? With the discipline of the army, how are you going to congest everything, or how are you going to impact anything within 2 months? And lastly, Chair, you talked about procurement processes and requirements of uniforms and ammunition, and if let's take for an example, when you're training people for 3 months, there are people who are exiting before 3 years, there are those who exit after 3 years. Have you prepared these members for anything thereafter? You talked about skills development. Yes, I agree. But have you prepared them so that they can fit in some of the things that you will require as a defense for them to be able to do that, or for them to be able to do something thereafter? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tula. I speak to you with my family. Thank you for the great information. I will not give you a courage. I'm told you are already a new target. I don't know, because we have not gone to any oversight, Honorable Boy. So, it's not for the body. I don't think the body is going to be a good one. But if it's going to be a good one, yeah, but also Honorable Bodela that spoke about it. So I don't know why I'm starting this debate. Honorable, take this opportunity. I speak to the
No, Chairperson, I just have a few questions. What I want to find out, I'll start with the what regiment? I know it's studied. The report says the whole concept of keeping studied. But my fears come here. Usually there is this, I know we take it for granted, but to me it matters. You know, when you, so I don't know if this regiment is going to address that. If it's so, or it's addressed differently, it's fine. But my fear comes this way. You see, even when, the way the military establishment facilities are like, you know, at times it's nice to just say you want to do repair, you can call an outside company. You want to upgrade your IT, you can do that. the type of service provision that we're getting from outside, to me, normally, to a certain extent, interferes with the what when you come and present here, you, for example, say, this is classified information. It's classified, but in an actual case, that report, the people who have done it, have it in one way or the other. Because you have then let them come and fix this and do that. They know your terrain, they even know the map. But now, to me, I thought that something like regiment, or trying to bring in the service that were there even before, you know, within the defense establishment, you would then be able to use it. You'll repair your things, you'll upgrade your systems and all that within you. With people who understand the sensitivity and who are security conscious in managing that information. You know, but once you, like I see most of your tenders are out on the public tender, a company can tender with a partner from country X. You know, they can come and tender, but you don't know what actually they're interested in to use them to get at what they want. So I just want my peers to be perhaps alert in that regard. That's the first one. The second one is on the I think it was passed by Madame, Honorable Member, yes. But it has to do with my Honorable Member,
Honorable Member
Daniel. Yes, Honorable Member Daniel. On the... No, on the choice, the criteria that is used to take these people.
There's going to be a management meeting.
Yeah. No.
Yes, in the company management association.
Oh. Yeah. No, no. The, I'm actually protected.
Yeah, I'm saying that one is one taking more range. So, you see this one, they link the reason here, but trying to get them to cool down. Yeah, no, no, no. Google, I say anything about Google? Oh, no, I don't want to say Google. I don't want to hear anything about Google.
No, can I complete? No. You know the MSDS group, when you take them, there's this challenge that is particularly, well, those who are going to the reserve, the reserve force, MSDS group. There is this concern that what's the remuneration thereof? If you can speak to it, how does it look like? Because the second concern attached to their remuneration is how often they get called. And when, if they are not called, they are on the reserve, they came in as MSDS group, they are still young, they can't just be sitting and unemployed, just sit there. So once you find out, to what extent are they actually engaged? Because some of them, if they have to depend only on the collar, they don't see sustainable. You know, for them, you remember they don't have houses, they don't have medical aid, so on and so forth. How do they then get catered for? You know, and then of course, lastly, yeah, let me rather come back later.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. And I say thank you to the presenters who at least this time really followed it. We did understand it, most of it. I just want to ask a question on slide number 8. You talk about schools. And you said at least 4 schools visited the day. If there is a possibility of just naming, which are those schools? Which area are they applicable? By whom? Who visits them? Something like that. Then you talk about slide number 10. You talk about exit before 2 years. A person who lives within 2 years. You have maybe different reasons of why they pull out within 2 years. Or is it because of the problem of training, or is it because of the capability of absorbing, because of what is taking place in what? What are their real reasons that make them pull out within the period? I just want to support the Oral Member Koronov on budget side, on finance side. It seems as if maybe maybe the department has ambition in doing something, but since the finance is left behind, and you end up not fulfilling what you think, you want to fulfill at the end of the day, how are you going to make a comparison to make it balanced so that you are able to achieve your goals, but in the meantime you don't left behind financial? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I've got four questions, but on the first one, slide 10, I'm covered by the Honourable Marble. On slide 13, it is mentioned that a lot of you just turned to that page. Yes, sports is mentioned as a factor on that slide. And my question to the Honourable, to the members, is do they still participate in a sport that the nation will participate in the national leagues like soccer, rugby, and all those kinds of sports to contribute to nation building and discipline in that field? On slide 24, yes, in the sectors per service and divisions. My question is, I see in the support group of four tests, there are 810 people in the support section. My question is, where do they come from? Where do they call them or fetch them from to give that figure of 810? The last question relates to the budget. The presenter told us that 332.3 million rand is provided by Treasury. My question is this amount included in the budget of DOD, or is it a separate amount given to them to facilitate this program? And if they do so, who's accountable for that money? Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to check, at some point I was interested in psychometric tests, and I went to Old Warren, and I met three young ladies, and this lady, for the first time they applied for entry, for training into us, they were about, around 90. And because they wrote psychometric training, the test, they went through the test before they could be admitted. Because they failed the training, they couldn't go through. And they were so determined that they did it for the first year, the second year, up until they were 23. And the age limit here is 22. So I just want a briefing around psychometric tests, are they applicable to all the intakes? And is it psychometric testing? Is it a revised psychometric training or the same old psychometric test? So that's one point which I wanted to raise. And the second point is that I can see that 17,000 already of young people have been trained. 17 had to watch up until what number? Up until what year will this young recruits come in? Because if they can go continuously until 2023, they shall have replaced the whole complement of the about the National Defense Force. So we should know that if we say 2010, maybe we end up there to be modified, or they should there will be new approaches to it. First of all, if we agree that this is a good idea and a good presentation, obviously all the good ideas have to be complemented with a good budget. So we expect naturally that the budget should tally with the implementation of the program. I don't think that it's a problem. I would ask the question from the question Mr. Gulanov asked. So in as much as you said it's a good presentation, we should at the same time balance that. If I come from Skopje, it becomes difficult because I will approach it from that side. Because I would always be worried about how do they account, how do they use the budget. But because it insisted that the MSD should come into place, it means they should be accompanied by the Mr. budget. And for me, I don't think that's a problem. So, but the issue around the exit map, you see, so here, obviously, there are two presentations. As you raise a concern, we're interested to check how do you rejuvenate, and at the same time, how do you exit? And I realized that when we started integration, we did it surreptitiously and civilly, and we couldn't come up with reasonable plans to deal with it. Because when we started, nine generals from the 9th Force, or from MK, that's nine generals. Naturally, the 8th sector was not taken into consideration at that time. And now, in the middle management of the South African Defense Force, we still had the thicker bulk of those who are previously advanced, not disadvantaged. Now we have more than seven, or it should be more than four or five generals who come from MK warehouse. And there is nothing which says that how are we going to maintain that balance. So we were in, as much as we talk about this one, and we talk about men, that this should be looked into on a serious note, because we don't want to go back much in time. And we talk about things we spoke about when we started. And that is what I'm raising. We should go to the leadership of the South African National Defense Force. Then all other issues are just figures and numbers. And as a politician, I don't like going down deep down into figures and numbers. But I think the job you are doing is a wonderful job. And I think it should be very encouraging.
I think the general commissar said a good basis for our opinion that we should be taking. You know, he's a commissar when he's in the MK, the general when he's in the strategy. Now, the point I'm why I'm saying the person is correct. You
have to separate the two. I don't know about that.
You see the view I hold, and I think the commissar is presenting, is that in a society where a 12-year-old chops up a cousin, and an 8-year-old chops him up with an axe, and still feel glorious that he can chop up another one if he's given an opportunity. We should be concerned about an indictment against all of us of how we handle youth patterns. And the FNGF has played a very major role within that context. That's why I think that I go along with the commissar to say that we have done a very good job and we are contributing to society. And maybe what we need to do is also even listen to the youth when it comes, because I suspect that the test they come to the moment. When we arrange the issue of the age, around about 16, that maybe we should also reflect on that one, because if a 12-year-old can commit murder, you might not be seeing one in a battalion. But as a society, it's becoming a situation that is, you must say that that contribution is a very vulnerable contribution. For me, that's the basis of the work that you're doing. And that's a positive thing. We should be able to oppose this particular thing. Not reflect on both. If you go to prison and you look at juveniles in prison, you might be worried about that because they're losing a generation of young people who start by crime. And you need to be worried about that. You need to be able to find solutions. And what the FNDF is doing, rather than having a conscription of people, it puts up a program that could be prison, assisting and giving young people. For me, that's a positive aspect. To me, the issue of funding and the issue of how you look at the budgetary process, it's very clear that it's a problem. Our contribution to deal with the FNDF overall arms is coming to the end, you know. And for us, we study why we are moving it. Every time we're getting invited, maybe other colleagues don't see that as positive. We get invited to see a ship arriving in Bodhi, invited to see helicopters arriving. It clearly says, when it comes to facilities, that result, they've got the result. What is needed is the personnel. And that's where the MSDF program is coming to complement that type of development. And ambitious or not ambitious, if that is going to be the contribution in the direction that is going to be followed by the FNDF at a particular juncture, it clearly shows me that there is vision in the leadership of the FNDF and in the particular direction. And to me, that for those values that have been contributed in the buying of those arms are beginning to slide down. And that contribution towards using their own human resource is a good contribution. That's how I would view the two arguments about it is ambitious, yes, it's ambitious, but it must be supported by us. Because it does say at the level where your armor is beginning to be, because now people are needed to come and drive the ship. Where are you going to find those people? And we know from what even what OPA has hinted for Munarek that what we brought and integrated into the whole defense, it doesn't have capacity for being able to make use of all the mechanisms that are there. And for me, it's part of particular development in a good development. We need to be able to support the department on that particular course. So it's very vital. And it's on those levels that I'm saying that one, societies can't complain and say you are building a security. I mean, you are here to make sure that young people find valuable skills. And when they do have those skills, how do they make use of those skills? So our target is to continuously reflect on young people is something that is very good. So I do give it's a very positive thing that they are doing. And we need our support and we need to be able to know what we are doing. So that you don't find the general instance going to the NCOP and complaining that you don't know how your budget is doing your stuff, that I'm a little bit worried about that. But then it means you didn't understand that it's still for the NCOP. You should be calling for support for that particular one. So it's a good development, and it needs to be able to all of us say the defense has arrived, and we need to be able to give our support. So that's my one point. So the one point that also says that if you fundamentally are assisting us to address societal problems by training and training young people, you then have to show the weaknesses within the system. I'm definitely sure you can't say to us those 7,000, they're just moving smooth. I mean, there's no element from what that could take what to do, elements of discipline. I mean, but I know that when you go to I have seen when they're contributing to corruption in the system. They're sending files and they're sending cases. These are very young people, you know. They get excited. I mean, you mean that in that training, you don't face those type of problems. So it would be nice for you to tell us what are the weaknesses within the system. What do those young people do? And the one part that I'm still also, I mean, I know where the chaplain has been drawn from. The intellectual, these graduates, there's sometimes a huge complaint about them not getting into what makes them not to be attracted to come to the would have expected that it would just show you a little lack of interest. Yeah, but the other major one, that is, you go to university, you pass, and nobody was your employer. But there is a program that gives and offers them an opportunity to get more skills currently and be able to move forward. Why is that existence? Maybe it's a question I don't think we'll give the answer, but give us a sense of why do young people of that nature walk away. Even in relation to the issue of, I hear you saying that the minister then could report to the president. But I would then appear to you say, without the letter coming from the sector, I would expect you to say that the deputy president, who is key in the issues of the issues of skilling, how much interest does he show? What has he been doing, you know, from the level of cabinet? That then shows us that everybody understands. And as well as this could deal with foreigners concerns, that where is the budget when it goes in like this? Then we would expect Jesus to come in within and be able to assist us to achieve this particular target. What Gibson, in my understanding, is created for that particular intervention. And the FNDF here is doing part of that work. I said that it is not right. I mean, I've heard some meetings of the MSDF, but I want to hear from the policy part of the point that what is she pushing, even from funding, is she assisting to assist children to become creative, someone so that we can strengthen this particular development. We don't leave it just like that. But my last point, Chairperson, you know, after saying some good things, I must raise my concern, you see. The one point, Chairperson, which has been an observation, with not undermining, but an observation that we want to hear, that as you assisted them in the corner where we are not brought into confidence in the committee. We haven't seen a shift of defense in this committee. There's different arms of senior personnel coming to address us. I mean, I know the fact that she's going to appear and disappear, but I don't hear any apologies coming from that level. What have we done to that? Maybe you can give us some insight. So, I mean, as a committee and as colleagues, we're a little bit worried about what's happening from the senior. When working through that, or to do it, encouraging to come to this committee. If you have done that, that does not. But if you haven't done that, can somebody explain to us what is going on in the hierarchy that we are trying to see that in somewhere or that is sleeping somewhere else? I know that the chief of operation has passed away, but I didn't hear any word coming from CEO of Uganda. No, I'm just saying that I didn't hear any reappointment. Or what is exactly going to happen in relation to that? I'm just saying that these are concerns that you wouldn't want to read most of the time in the newspapers or in listen about gossip in the SNDF. Yeah. But you would want to hear officials. If there's no answers, I would still want to wait my, but I want to put it on record that I am a little bit worried that I don't see the national leadership. I mean, I know people in military intelligence have never seen their ship here, but I see dark and tired now so much. But it would be nice to kind of hear. Oh, I see.
Yeah, the board members have not had an opportunity to speak. I've looked at them to take the second round. Before you ask them, let me just have a question. I don't remember when I read the letter, I read to the minister. And the minister knows the question that I expect. If the subject matter affects the army, I'm expecting the chief. I always check the results against the I communicate there, but I accept that, and we all know that always been my principle that I always expect people who can account to be the ones who appear before us for the discussion. Will address them. I raised my concerns that the last meeting we had. There's no secret that I said that the left side doesn't take this community because of many other things. But let me also, you covered me a lot on many issues, especially the three letters you had. But I must clear this. You should not confuse the presentation. option is not just implemented. It's what the department in the census is the best option, given the fact that if their budget can be augmented, they would prefer to pursue the NSDF focus in that fashion. So we shouldn't be concerned on the one. But I want to speak to what one honourable member has spoken to, policy issues. You see, South Africa should pride itself in the NSDF program. It's the best model ever that the country has implemented in terms of youth development for young people. That's the best in the world. But we should be able to look at how we integrate it within government. And honourable Bonari and honourable Boy spoke to those issues. If we say that through our skills, we'll be able to employ a certain number of people that reflect in terms of how we capacity. It must be reflected in your skills development progress. If you don't inject more funding in skills development, it means you are shooting the very same proposal that you want to put in place. And it becomes a worry to find that the majority of funds that are left for NSDF come from the department. There's no commitment whatsoever from the African. We would want to have a hearing with the African to how then do they expect this program to be a success if such a little amount of money comes from the African. I think we'll raise those issues, we'll look at that. The second issue, which of course I raised in public, you see, it's better I've observed over time. If you want to change around, if we're honest, I want to be frank when I speak on this matter. If we want to be honest and frank about transformation, it must be reflected in how we deploy people in occupation. And that is the slide that is missing here today, because that's the slide that reflects reality in terms of how far the department has gone on that matter. It reflects on technical occupation, on special occupations, how much people have been prepared and trained. And as we in the same that we have that slide, it must show the ambition towards that movement. Part of the issue will be how much we have, but how much are you intending to have? Meaning that there will be an intention to focus on a specific racial group and retrain and train and train them until they can win that special skill. Because I have seen those figures over many years that there is no clear improvement. And it's only special occupation. And that's where the Irish coffee comes in. That's what Mr. Bonari was talking about, that you can have nine generals and talk, but if there's no transformation to the level of middle management and there's no training through the intake of MSDS, because people leave, because if people complete their two-year training, we look at placement, then it's a challenge. But I also thought that when we talk about integration, public work will tap on the skill we build, the correctional service will tap on the skill we build, home affairs will tap on the skill, because we need to have immigration officers who are clear on the safety issues, or who are clear on many other aspects, that, including the mask that you want. You become then a niche for Home Affairs to tap on the stuff that they do. Maybe we need to have that type of discussion where this other department look into it, including SAP itself. I know it has been tapping on defense intelligence, but it does not tap on other technical skills, including your engineers. Because the reason why we are raising this is that when we were looking at the presentation of public work, we realized that they use half of their money, which comes from DOD, on consulting. The number of consultants that we need, in fact, that's for consulting, not in the contractors themselves, where a higher percentage vis-a-vis the amount of the real work that has been done. And that's about the skills base that we need to prepare on the ground. So I will be interested that in future when you give us the model, you then show us. Well, we don't want to get deeper into the details, but just to get a reflection to which extent you address the issue. Just to lay the fears that members might have in terms of what this internal skills that becomes an investment in the future, because that tomorrow when the unions fight for more increase, it will be based on the fact that they ruin internal skills, because capacity remains a challenge, the current challenge which needs to be addressed. Then the issue of that also captured my mind. I think the chief of the Navy and the chief of the Air Force must explain to us the zero percentage. Zero percentage in technical expertise.
one thing that is big, and I don't think it's mentioned in our technology. I wish it was not there. The tenure policy, I think it's something we might also want to have a look now how we deal with the issues of the 12% of CSF. That's here. I think it's also key of the business. But I'm also impressed at how you plan your MTF budget cycle to 2010. Because if that can be adopted by national president, especially beyond 2009, I think then it will address some issues that have been raised in the region. So it's quite a good reflection because it goes over 10% increment if it can be adopted. I think that's a great movement forward. But sometimes, I don't know how many times I've never do it, but I do it a lot. Every time I see a man or a woman in uniform, I interview them a bit. How is it going at work? Should we get promotion? I can tell you, see what the next 30 years. I meet a lot of them and I ask them whether they prospect, how they feel about prospect, job opportunities within myself. Some of them don't even know that I'm a citizen because I meet them in malls, in Bloemfontein somewhere, and start to ask questions around how they feel, to look at the issue of the zeal. Are they overzealous? Is there an element of making their morale high in terms of opportunities? I have not said, and I can't say, that's not the thing, I can't say it's actual, it's not actual. Because it's based, not scientific, it's based on few interviews I made with individuals. But I'm saying, we need to start to see and say, yes, it is, yes, it is. And because it's not reflective here, it's also not reflective in that verbal communication. It suggests that we need to push harder. But we understand the challenges, the financial challenges, but this is not an aspect of money. It's an aspect of recognition of service. Recognition of service to build the morale, to build the zeal for people who must feel that the service they provide is recognized. Because we should not have policy that seeks to put people down and keep them on lower. I think that's one thing. But you said something about the UK. The UK is very proud of this program. I think the National Youth Commission and so on. Yeah, we don't match the government. We're very happy with the work you do on this one. Maybe we are too proud to even want to show the world what we're doing. I hope it will make them happy. It's one of the. Yeah, thank you. Let me give you the question. What? So, we see the one. But then what I think let's allow them to start to get the second round. So they're not going to get the second round.
Quite a comprehensive list of questions. I will try our best to respond to that. The comment by the Honourable Member on the need for a gender breakdown by our traditional masculine, that is information that we will provide as your strategy better than the one. We can do that well ahead of that. In a case which your specific masculine should take gender parade within the MSD I think I'll ask you a member of the vet the question that has rather side of the corner on the budget and the budget cycle, some of which was also covered by the speakers after.
Madam Chair, in terms of the budget and how we can make this whole effort affordable, the department basically said with three options. On the slide indicated is the amount already allocated by National Treasury. That amount, going to 760 million 910, can buy the number of people indicated in green, which means it's an intake in the region of 4,500 to 5,000. That's what we basically say is the funded option. That's on the one end of the spectrum. On the other other hand of the spectrum, we want to go to the 10,000 intake in 09 and 08 5,000 and maintain it on that level. In order to move to that option is not funded. And that is the amount that we need to run it as a total system. If National Treasury, government, due to the priorities of this program, can give us that fund, that is the outer side of the option. If they give money less than that amount, then obviously there's an option in the middle. So we're funding, as indicated, to a 10,000, 5,000 intake, currently maintain at the level from 4, 5 to 5, and maybe with not full funding, but less funding, there's an option in the middle that we will work out when we get that funding. And that's how we will do our plan.
I just think what's important to say here, this option forms part of our president's main priorities at this moment. And therefore, this option, the cabinet memorandum has already been prepared, and in principle, this will be supported as the first priority for additional options within our department. So I think it's important to have that.
Okay,
sir,
I think the Paul said at the beginning, I'm not sending apologies for the secretary, which is that the chief is around when you're still on sick leave, but the acting chief was with us in Cape Town. He just had to go to Simon Town today for an engagement with the minister. But he would have been here otherwise. He was with us yesterday when we were with the Co-Commissioner Committee on Constitutional Affairs. Admiral Mudim,
Madam Chair, Dr. Kurenov is correct to say that up to now we don't see the feeding into the reserve system. Now, if we look at the migration patterns indicated on this slide, we will see that the numbers exited after 2 years was very small. And the reason for that was specific the requirement to rejuvenate the regiment. But as the intakes to come now, and specifically the 2006 and 7 intakes, the current serving members, the numbers will now grow in feeding and also rejuvenating the reserves. And in case of a 10,000 option, it will be done to the tune of 7,500 million. So, we dealt now with the first priority, and now we must also deal with the reserves. Basic military training.
Maybe, Madam Chair, we can also, in answering that question, state that the current planning is that at the end of this year, the Army will exit 2,500 members into the reserve from the current planning members at the end of 2015.
Madam Chair, Honourable Members, what is the percentage of basic military training that's included in functional training? The two types of training are split. The members finish their basic military training and then they go into so they are not a mix of the two. They complete the basic training and then they start with the functional training in the different masteries or the different corps. Percentage wise, over 2 years, your functional training differs from period to period, but it could be as long as 9 months and as short as 3 months. So it varies between 3 and 9 months after the basic training of 3 months. As far as the academic training at the military academy is concerned, we said that we want to put all officers, potential young officers, on the par to get a tertiary qualification. So the current situation is that all MSD members that selected for officers. Our challenge is in growing the numbers, how to create the capacity to do this, that they must do a first year certificate in military studies. The content of that qualification is that it will give them a first year tertiary qualification. And those members...
Now I want to make us to reflect and remember what the country is all about. Because this is where the ship of the matter is. There's a bone of contention between what should be the curriculum in terms of training. Should it be military training only, or should they also achieve technical training? And it's a problem because if it's not like that, if they move from military life to civilian life, to work in public work, to work in correctional service, to work in social development, or any other department, how then do they? It means they must start afresh and go and retrain from another level. Hence, I talked about integration of departments to fund this program. Because if GOG looks at the military training, but any other government department also contributes to their technical training, whether it's the teacher education, a degree, or whatsoever, they will be able to know that when they finish their intern training, they can be deployed in their department. I think it's important because we spoke about this. I don't want them to make a reflection on this point because we did speak. Let me just take it to Honorable Mugomulaven, Honorable Daniel, Honorable Tuli, and Honorable Boita.
I think we did make the recommendations. Two years ago, and because after the first visit, we gave you 23 recommendations, and I was visited Saldana more than 3 times, and we are not getting any feedback. We got a feedback from a commander of Saldana of which is strong. The department had promised that we will get a report, because we went to Canada again. I had to check on the military academy, and wanted a military academy, what is it, center, that the life of the life. We said an academy of excellence and professionalism. So those recommendations we made, we don't see them coming. One of the recommendations is that the department of defense and the Department of Education. The academy should also get a grant, which academic institutions get in South Africa. They don't do that. We do have this relationship between Saldana and Stellenbosch, of which it's a makeshift arrangement, even if it's historical and sentiment. Sentiment may still be holding this university and the academy to be saying who is dominant and not dominant. But this is not what we want. I'm sure that later will give you recommendations from Canada. In fact, that you are in a position to reflect on this and to do as we wish. Because, you see, the academics are not going to take over our military academy. It's not the university. The academic wants to go to the university. They will go to student force and other universities. But in a military academy, to inculcate military discipline. And military studies are also academic. So let's not represent the impression that military fights and whatnot. Like academics and the rest of them. People who want.
I've got the impression I created the movie.
Huh?
You said I've got the impression I created.
No, I was there with Professor Carter. That was the impression which was created at the time. You see that? And that's where the department was confused. Because we wanted to turn the military academy into an academic institution. Because the team and the academic lecturers were actually complaining about the command gun that we put there and the emphasis. And all the command guns
say we have to give in our recommendations, we are actually giving the guidelines and to show that we are saying that we have to color that also we will spend for to the whole day actually. In an academic, military academy there in Canada, studying it, getting how does it strike you, and what role do they play in youth development, in making sure that the whole country is disciplined. The whole question of speed and everything. So they, that was such a wonderful experience. So we just say, those recommendations still hold. And when we, I think the next time I suggest we should get a feedback from the department itself on how do they see the future of our own military. You know, we've got the school, a war school, and a military college. And how do we like integrate the three with each other? We've got the school separate
Thank you,
Honorable
Mr. Teacher.
I think one of the things that was said was this, that the training was more military than academic. Once you understand the discipline of military, that can also be converted to be used in the civil environment. But it was also important to balance the two. Because, Chair, take the service corps. For an example, where you have veterans that are no longer military people, that are supposed to be integrated to the civil society. But then they have problems thereafter because they are trained still in the military, but when they go to civilian deployment, they encounter problems. Because you find them saying, I can't be converted by a civilian. We need to find a way to strike a balance.
Can you allow her to make a point? No, can you allow her to make a point? She was quite used to be listening to your view. Please, okay.
I think mainly because when we were in Saldana, the MFDS were really complaining about that they understand that they were there, the DOD was doing a good thing, but they were more concentrated on military. They were not given a chance or time to deal with their academic studies. We understand that. But what we are mainly concerned was the balance between the two, so that if they not continue with the defense, then they can be able to be deployed in other departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we agree with the progressive view that we need to balance the two so that people cannot continue their life in military life. They don't become a state burden and they live on social grants, but they are able to be absorbed in the other government departments. But those government departments must play a role in terms of their training, especially in skills development. And that's what you said, it's a problem. Maybe we should, honorable member, focus on that. But that's where the point lies, that JIPSA and ARCHISA achieving what it says it will achieve in terms of skills development. If in particular in our case, we need to locate it in defense, how then do we make it a real living life? Because there is challenges of resources. The department cannot take 100% ownership of funding. If we're paying 13,500 per individual, every year inflation goes up, it will go up. It will come to a point where we need to collect more than 20,000 per individual only in training and accommodation and so on. What then becomes other programs of government? And that's what we need to talk about. And that's the point she's raising. So let's take Honorable Julie and Honorable Boy and we wrap up so that he can continue to answer the other questions. Yes. Honorable Mati is also ready outside for those who want to change questions.
No, thanks. Maybe it's just to add on the question that has been answered by Honorable Daniel. You know, one of the things that students they raise there, they were saying no, yes, true, they say, yeah, but it's too academic, it's too military sick than as we can study. But what we must was the report we got from the commandant that the results look like have gone down. Now you can also then see the mismatch of the expectation. It's either students when they come to MSG are not thoroughly explained what to say exactly is expected of them, but it becomes worse when they then go to the military academy. Because some of us, we couldn't find really what students were trying to say. They wanted to sit like they're at Stellenbosch or at uni, or go to library and go and play and not go and train. See, we could see the mismatch of a thinking. But we all said, look, I'm sure the situation from the point of view of leadership, still there's a need for an emphasis on that. To say, you know, the expectations must be clarified. Don't put wrong, right people at wrong places. But maybe this question of, because in your slide you did, I did see that you were saying some of your products get drawn into other departments, social welfare and so on and so forth. I think that indeed we need to comment. And that's where I think the chairperson is correct to say this. That, you know, if you are able to produce such young people who are like that, who are drawn in, let those departments not be the only solely beneficiaries of what you do in your plan, because when the cage is being cut for you for defense, that you are going to produce it, they are also allocated, but what they produce, what is it that they produce, such that at the end they become also the very people who enlist from you. So such that if your motivation could be couched, such that these results are recorded, you know, so that we find a way, perhaps that's one better tool, that we can rejuvenate our whole public sector in our country. So let it be, because then they get into some induction of a military perspective. That's the thing. But one last thing I want to say, you know, there is the best thing that you, the best marketer or police to sell is the existing environment. Let's remember something. You know, the current system, particularly of the reserve, I'm worried about. Remember what happens. These guys, when they take leave from work, others are within department, then perhaps they get, then this gets recognized, they get paid, and there's no cut to their salary or their benefits. But the people who are in private sector, they don't get compensated for them when they leave their private sector and they attend to collapse. And when they come in. And I think that's one patriotic thing, that the private sector of this country is not well boarded on what is expected of them in terms of now contributing to this young nation that we want to be. So that, to me, what I would say is that there is therefore then a need for the DOD to make an extra mile to reach out to our private sector to can equally, when they have members in their departments, in their works of place, saying no, they will not collapse, they're going to serve for 6 months or 3 months, let their services not be terminated. Let their benefits not be terminated or be disadvantaged, because that discourages them from participating in the national interest. Thank you.
Let's talk to you. We also need to remember about the report that our brother and the Simon Sanchez book has brought has come before the Commission of Arbitration. So we must use the Philadelphia and the benefit of the doubt to indulge in what we discussed. But the recommendation is left at the interview during the class of the report. But also giving a benefit of that in terms of what transpired with, because I think you are the community. So we must not regarding what we discussed, but rather but talk. Because we talked at this point just to say, can we get other players to play? Because the reason why we sound like this is because of other players who are playing their part. Because they do have on the unit. They are going to develop. You could be spending so much on training for the next year and they go. They're going to tap on what you have built and what then becomes the update of those going to tap on that. We need to find a way. Including the very people that have set out to the but, honey, people cannot tap on our resources, but they don't. And I think that's what, that on other issues, I think we'll come back, including the reserve for that. get a presentation next week. Next week, so we'll have an opportunity to deal with those issues. So we'll compare the presentation with the presentation on and come to social disposition. Honorable Boy.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't be long, really. But the point I wanted to make was made a lot quickly by Honorable Daniel. It is about the matter. You know, Chairperson, when you deal with life, life is reality. If you are, as you are arriving within the SSD, those that have been there before get out with good payout, pension money. That must be your right component. Of general. If you look at General Nyanda, while he was chief of defense, his payout is far lower than our other generals that are there. Now the question that keeps on revolving around our minds is the type of act. I mean, not, it's not based really on the act, because integration has come along, integration has brought this type of meaning amongst the people and has been able to build a defense. But when it comes to payout and benefits, it's a source of problem. And you know, train people when you put, deal with them in that type of problem, become a serious problem. And I attended our policy conference with them. You know, the issue of veterans became really clear. Some of them even poured out in the editing of the defense are beginning to be a problem of how to society bring them on board. Or what does society offer them for them to be able to live? Because maybe militarized in the past, but today society is not looking at having a contribution towards them. And that is going to be a problem. While I'm debating this, I know for a matter of fact, I don't want to tend to depend on a solution to every problem that society has to confront with. But for me, in reflection, it is important to deal with the issue of the veterans. Because, you know, there's no way you would want to see your defense general in society. When you get out of the defense, it becomes a pauper. You know, very bad about the struggle. That's the baddest part of our action, of our negotiation. Because when a general becomes a pauper and he tries to get into PE, he doesn't achieve. But it doesn't benefit. And society is not able to look after them. It is a pauper. I deal with them every day, black and white. I mean, they come and report to me. I talk to them because they are very vulnerable to our society. So for me, maybe in the near future, we need to think about that. That's where, as we continue opening up the SSD, planning, we need to think about that. What do we do? Because as you are saying correctly, I mean, you know that we're debating people or social welfare. I mean, the ministers, yeah. But the point is that the minister here made very sober that now we start with all those people coming to him and say that can you give us now class? I mean, how do you say to a general, former general, have been coming out of the system looking for a grant to survive and feed his family? And the BMW that we got in during the tenure of his service to the country have disappeared. And his lifestyle and everything goes down. The society has forgotten about him. That is an indictment against us. And to me, while we're doing this good work, we're trying to change the thing here. Let's not forget about them and their contributions that they have done. Black and white. It's not just about a problem of our own generals, but it's a problem that is beginning to come across. And society can't forget them. And to me, that's a challenge. I don't know how we can deal, but it's a serious challenge. It will haunt you, because I always say to people, it's so difficult when a colleague of yours that has trained you for many years, and you meet him the next day, he's a pauper, driving in a bigger, and you are driving a bigger car. It becomes a problem. Maybe it's something that you need to think about. That's why I say,
so take the example of the car.
So
can
you
have a fight? Like I looked at, I think it's a bubble gum.
So, you know what I'm just saying, Chairperson? It's something that we need to think about this veteran program. That what it is that we can do to be able to contribute to what we are doing.
Can I request you, Chairperson?
Yeah.
think you are diverting each little from the topic. Because you are now talking about health mechanism, which I think it will come after. May I get the questions answered, please? Because maybe there are some notes or some ideas that you can get after the answer of the question. And you can remember through you, madam, stop talking now. Let them listen to the question they have posed. Maybe it will help them a lot.
Now, it started to help you with the effort of the separate people that are supposed
to help you. I want to end my voice, Father. I think we've not been very discussing. The discussions have been very useful and productive. But we have nothing. But the questions were asked, we were opposing the first round, and we go to the second round. I do want to think that the intervention has made some, has enriched the discussion. But it must be systematic. The questions were asked, that's those questions we asked.
Now I have another question. You say sometimes being systematic can make you not be successful. You can't just follow a system and that system is giving nobody because the system is in place. It must remain like this. The crucial point that was raised, we had to satisfy ourselves on that point. The system is in place. I said to them that let them just speak on that issue. Sometimes it's not me who goes the other way, you who raise other issues. I'm a very patient person, I will allow you to speak, but I will always say that this will discuss later. We'll share it for later discussion. So, we should not be rigid sometimes. Okay, let's allow the answers, because there were many questions that were raised. I think I was the interaction, but before the question answer session, the interaction, and then you should allow them. Thank you.
Quick to communicate to members, recall when we're making the apology for the activities. In fact, this president in Tanzania is itself the minister who is going to be there to actually deal with some of the issues that the honorable members have raised.
Please, that question should not be answered. Please, leave it to me, I will deal with it. These are my colleagues, you know.
For information.
But don't worry, man. If I say, but don't worry, you mustn't worry again. Yeah. So don't worry, I will talk to my school from the day.
Okay, can the other questions that have been asked?
No, honorable, I'm going to separate honorable Boy and honorable Bonari. I want honorable Boy to sit this side. He must sit this side. They must look at each other in the face, how they look like when they behave like this. No. You, I'm going to send you at the back to see where you come. The three of you. Yeah, no. I'm going to see what's going to happen when they look each other in the eye and they will say the things that they say. Thank you very much.
Chair, the other round of questions related to rejuvenation, and then that was from Dr. Peku in terms of what does it mean in the context of what we've been talking about for the Ministry of Skills Development System. But also the whole issue, I think the academic qualifications, we have covered that. But the other issue of the age bracket of 18 to 24, and as private, and then the discipline factor to it. And the last one on the engineer, and the extent to which the scarcity of that came.
Madam Chair, rejuvenation as the word indicated, and one of the important elements is to rejuvenate across rank levels, across occupations, for instance members in the age bracket. We did some international benchmarking. What is the ideal age bracket per rank level? But that is not cast in concrete, Madam Chair. We currently review HR 2010. We have re-look at it currently as we speak. But it also means that you really don't want to sit with a private that is stagnated at the age of 45. And we really want to rejuvenate towards that ideal age bracket. Although it's not cast in concrete, we use it as a broadcast. Madam Chair, in terms of discipline, so far, the incidence in terms of ill discipline is really not high as far as energy is concerned. And the real test is when you start deploying MSDC operations. During 2006, Madam Chair, we deployed 281 MSD members in peace support operations while they were MSD members, and 1,751 ex-MSD members who served in core service system. The other day I had a discussion with one of the generals at Chief Joint Operations, and he indicated to me he deployed with some of these MSD members during peace support operations, and the report that we received back was very well. In fact, they said they're very well disciplined. Obviously, you have during that deployment, a woman was included, the 30%, as you can see there, Madam Chair. So, and then the question was asked, Madam Chair, in terms of engineers. This is not engineers in terms of academic, civil engineer, or that type of thing. It's field engineers. In the core of the SA Army, we have the core of field engineers. So that is the engineer core that we refer to.
No.
The one that can help. Well,
you should not ask for the
The next answer related to the questions of the Honourable Member Daniel with respect to the criteria. That is due to migrate MSDS members from MSDS to the reserve. And then also what the core services, what the core service system. And then the procurement processes, procurement of the human resource and the skills transfer, whether the once they get out of the MSDS system, are they prepared for a job after the service.
Madam Chair, the criteria being used for selection to the reserves or core service system, as indicated in the life cycle slide, as indicated there, the selection at the end of the 2 years. During that period, you will obviously look at an individual's training, general discipline, and performance during his or her MSD period, as well as the need to serve further. Some people tell you, I've got now good experience, good leadership, and I want to exit, and we saw the numbers. All those are jointly used in order to select the best performance amongst their peers to continue in the regulars. And as we saw in up to now, the selection rate was above 70% to be regulars. But in time to come, the challenge would be to say, what 30% will you select for the regulars and the 70% that will go to the reserves? And the challenge, Madam Chair, and one speaker referred to, what happened after the 2 years. That's where we really sit with the challenge, that all the skills that you gave a person in terms of portable skills through the 2 years, to harness that with a further enhancement that we now put in our budget figure of 13,500 to give further extra portable skills towards the members end of the 2 years. But more important, Madam Chair, is then to train in terms of those skills that Agisa and Chipsa need at the end of the day for that market. And that's where we need to line up with the employers in this country to take on the MSD. And as the MSD system become more known to those employers, Cecil as an example, indicated already, but they hear of this MSD program, it's better for them to take into service a person that came through this 2 year system than a school leaver. Because more mature, more disciplined with the skills added to them. And other than the national department. Yesterday we received a letter from police indicating to say they heard about this MSD program. Obviously when we go to MSDs, we should have a challenge because we want to build the reserves, and when a member serves in the police, he cannot serve in the reserves, so that's another challenge that we serve. But we will even encourage them to go there and do things the member has some
difficulty. Can we tie to that member can you agree in principle that we make a recommendation to cabinet that this matter should be considered? That JIPSA should take on this resource. Do we agree in principle? We do. Okay. Because we
I think we do need to come in here to indicate that there has been several engagements with the president, but Chief HR and the will expand on that, because there has not been in those engagements. That's all I can do.
Thank you, sir. Chair and members, we would like to indicate that indeed the Minister of Defence arranged a meeting between him and the Deputy President. We went there to brief the Minister, and he also took us to the Deputy President, who was sitting with her staff, and they were asking basically what is our contribution to our SCIPA-related program. And we briefed the Deputy President on MSDS and Youth Foundation training. They were very, very happy. And the staff are going to make a follow-up, because they believe that all other departments should really invite us, should really participate on this matter. So we are preparing to engage the staff. I don't know when it will be taken to cabinet. That conversation between the Minister of Defense and the Deputy President. But they were very, very interested. And after that, we had a meeting as a follow-up on that meeting between the DOD and the youth, fund. There is a workshop that is being arranged to make presentations and to engage in discussion. They also believe that if we get in more funding, we can increase the numbers and train more young people of this country. And they want to engage especially on portable skills. Exactly after basic training and functional training, what's next? What is it that they can take to the civilian environment?
Can
so that's one that you can get
a report in February? Can we get a report in February on progress?
On progress?
Yes, February.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Honorable
it's good that we get the report, but we have enough information from this presentation today on Project 24. Supporting the youth and the youth side, that we can make a recommendation to Parliament that the unfunded part of this Project 24 we support and we ask for additional funding. We've got information on
that. We are going to make that recommendation, even if there's progress. We need to have that so that when we look at progress in February, we'll be able to say this is our final recommendation that we've implemented. I think in principle we agree. But we get a progress report, so we agree with you. The recommendation will say so. Okay, let's move on. Let's give you the special order.
The... Oh, okay, we're going on the sequence. Yeah, we're still on. Mr. Ntule asked a question about the West Regiment and also the whole issue around the repair of the facilities. As well as the how often once the MSDS members go into the reserve, what will be the frequency of them being called up to serve in the reserve?
Madam Chair, the works regiment. The strategic concept of the works regiment is completed. The SA Army is now busy with detailed plans to see how they can implement the concept of the works regiment. But in short, the works regiment has two goals in mind. First of all, to create the capability to maintain own facilities within the South African National Defence Force and to build that capability through the works regiment. By using your people who've reached a career plateau, a stagnation point, to bring them into that environment, and then second objective, as you bring them in the environment, you maintain your own facility, you also give them additional artisan type of skills as builders to prepare them for a second career. And some of the entities, although not all of them, will also slot into this type of environment where the works regiment is on the ground. Madam Chair, the call of if you don't utilize and use your reserve system, it also meaningless. So you must call your people up. In the funding, in terms of what we saw is, when the system is running with 10,000 intakes, to call up 7,500 people every 2 years annually for 30 days. To train maintain them and to utilize them. However, Madam Chair, the Honourable Member made the remark, they dependent on these call-ups and these income. And that's exactly where our challenge is. Rather to try and find employment for the reserves properly supported by those employers when you call them for 30 days and not the other way around. That's the real challenge. How many schools do we visit through recruitment campaigns? It was mentioned before. Madam Chair, I don't have those details at hand. All to say that the people who do this visit is we have a directed personnel acquisition that moves through all provinces into the deepest rural areas with their recruiting campaigns. But if needed, we can draw up a list and send it to you in terms of those schools that they visit. Madam Chair, the next question in that block was why do members exit before their 2 years? Now, in this slide, we can see that the percentage of the number of people who exit before 2 years was 11, 9, 4, and 5%. It's decreasing. On average, a turnover rate of 10% below is not a very high rate. Now, the main reason, Madam Chair, is here that people, when they join the military, they don't really understand what it's all about. And as and when they start discovering the world of the military and the training environment, they really say, but this is not for me. And then they resign. And we regard that 11, 9, and now dropping to 4% as really not very high. It's also indicating to us that our selection process and marketing process is becoming better by the day, because we see a drop in tendency, although the 2016 intake is now in their second year, stands at 5% where it was originally 11%. So it's really people that say, the military is not for me after discovery, and then resign. And the highest percentage is working the first week or 2 weeks after the fall.
You see, when you maybe you pursue something from military and you get something, you see, because one of the reasons which makes young people to go into the MSDS is because of employment. So when a person gets a job opportunity before the end of the 2 years, and then that person faces an opportunity. So it's not like you are sliding back. You've actually created the appropriate conducive conditions for that person to be employed. So it's not like a negative part of the whole thing. Yeah, it's a positive one. So we should still record those people, not as a subject, as a national duty which the teachers of the government have to do. To the H2.
Madam Chair, the question was asked on slide 30. Thank you.
The other question from Honourable Member said was on the sport and whether our members participate in sport at national level. Also
the people where that $810 where that comes from. And then the budget allocation is that 382 in terms of the accountability for that.
Okay. Madam Chair, in terms of sport, sport is a very important part of the curriculum when people is under training, even group sport, because it creates cohesion and it creates team building. So yes, MSD members are part and parcel of the sport system of the Defence Force. They can compete up to national and international level, and they can, for instance, compete in sport weeks when the different arms of service, for instance, the soccer week, the rugby week, or cricket week, and that type of thing. I can't exactly tell you how many MSD members receive national colours, but I think that's possible to get those information.
Madam Chair, but there's also a very important issue which General Briggs has just missed for a moment. So there's the International Military Sports Federation called CISM, with about 60 membership countries in the world. And 2 years ago, we presented the CISM World Boxing Championships in South Africa. And at that occasion, MSDS members did participate from the South African side. So there are different levels. But CISM is a very critical, important issue for us in defense, which we also work towards successes. And it is subdivided into our region. The SADC region mainly is the ISALU CISM grouping, where we have got 4 days with our neighboring countries, with Lesotho, with Botswana, and Madam Chair, we even play soccer games with our Zimbabwean colleagues in the Limpopo River.
Thank you. And then
remember,
we need to round up. I was just being cautioned that we are running out of time. It's past 12, and we need to finish by 1. So what I'm going to ask is that let's quickly take a answer. We don't allow the new questions, we will discuss later. Then we get a 5 minute body break and then we take the second presentation. Then we will proceed to lunch. We are really running out of time. Let's just, if we cannot answer all the questions, we will do it in our sleep. So if you have to choose, you use the discussion to choose which one you like.
Just to quickly go through the psychometric test, it was initiated previously. There was a friend engagement with the President member.
I think that the detail, as you indicated, Madam Chair, will be presented by the Surgeon General with specific reference to the totality of psychometric tests, if you would allow that to stand over for the Surgeon General.
Is that okay?
No.
Are you okay with the arrangement? The psychometric test will come to you, but the arrangement to get to address us on that front? We must arrange that we can get this psychometric test. I'm just listening to this. Should arrange that. Okay.
The other one related to the death rate mechanism, and in terms of the extent to which we are doing that, but also at the same time the juvenile. And that was the only one.
Madam Chair, the slides indicate that currently the MEM and the EISP is helping to rejuvenate. The stats clearly indicated that what rank levels, and it's more towards people in the older age groups within the rank level. But the exit mechanism is not the only exit reason in the department. People also retire on a normal basis, people die, there's different exit reasons. Currently, the attrition rate of the department as a whole, including the MEM per annum, is running at around about 3,500 per annum. And that's where the feeding from the MSD comes into play. If you take in at 10,000 intake, roughly speaking, 7,000 must go to reserve, and 3,000 must deplete those regularly through the rejuvenation process, who resign exit the mechanism of the diet, etc., etc. Those steps are available. Madam Chair, I don't know if I'm going to continue.
Yes,
sir. I think Honourable Boy asked a question on age 16. Can't be appointed at age 16. Now, South Africa, if my memory serves correct, signed a treaty in terms of child soldiers, and even the Defence Act currently indicates that we are not allowed to appoint a person younger than the age of 18.
Okay.
So you can, when you use young people to get into the wars and carry all the dangerous weapons back, that treaty was signed based on that. But what we are talking about now, that training, killing, is absorbing youth to the street. So it's no longer, it's a social responsibility. So we can look into that concept and see how do we accommodating in future, but at this point I think you are right. But if we have to make a further development at our next time for the concept.
That's why we are not going to discuss.
Well, why do you the 16-year-olds vote?
The 16-year-olds are going to vote. The 16-year-olds are going to vote. But we are not playing the basketball in Canada.
Madam Chair, we dealt with the fund challenges as explained in the first answer. Then your question, Madam Chair, you say, yes, I fully agree, we must tap into the SDSGs I program. Madam Chair, we agree that in terms of this place, for instance, we will give you the full breakdown by next week, in writing, the breakdown of NSD members per occupation, per race, per gender. You'll be able to do that in writing, Madam Chair, indicating those. You also mentioned that other departments must step into the skills, example, public work. I cannot agree more with you. It's part of our program. The secretary wrote to all DCs of National Department explaining the NSD program that finishes every year in December. And that is a feeding mechanism also for those departments, like public works. I mentioned that the police also is even now on board. Madam Chair, you mentioned to build morale, promotions and so on. I can't talk from the top of my head, but there's roughly speaking 10,000 promotions every year in this department. Those stats are also available.
Madam Chair, I recommend for your consideration that we will be able to give you a breakdown on an annual basis of the year's promotions in the department, both on military as well as the civilian that we have.
Madam Chair, this is in this slide. Where you indicate the technical zero in the Navy and SAM is due to the way that they appoint people in the NSDS system, but we will explain as they move on in their second year into the core service system, then they keep into that matrix. But Madam Chair, in the breakdown that we will give you, you will see the answer there.
Somebody must explain why you need to be different. Yeah. Actually, somebody must know why the good days are different in terms of the way they are. Are you suggesting that
the condition
policies in one department?
No, I think we'll also explain that in that answer, Madam Chair, when we give you the breakdown.
Dealt with all the questions except for the comments that we extensively made in terms of the questions specifically with it, and they will pick up also some of the issues that were raised during the comments.
Thank you very much. Let's just take a 2 minute for a break. Then we proceed to the next meeting.
framework is informed by the overall government planning framework, which includes the government program of action, the national treasury guidelines, the public service and administration regulations, as well as the Department of Labor. All of those as part of accountability measures that we comply with. And according to that, we then develop our own planning framework, which will then integrate those statutory legislative requirements. Yes, what are the things that we need to do as a department, so including also reporting to yourself periodically. And Mr. Zaloba will make the presentation.
Briefly, the aim is to provide the justifying elements of our workforce show plan and strategic process. As already indicated, our plan is located within the ancestral service, and as such, you will find that whatever we do is located between what has been defined as a direction by current proposal, translated into the state of the nation, and I'm speaking to the speech. What then happens is that you find that then there will be a time when you get the priorities, which will be around the April and July roughly, and that is completed in terms of government. What is it that we do within the DOD? Within the DOD, you will find that we actually do virtually the same thing. We prepare our planning process. We also evaluate our proposal, and we make our proposal heads at the NCCA. Obviously, this is then leads to a definite coordination and by the policy statement is presented. And our pleas and our requests can present to the representative in of us, and then the whole thing then goes to cabinet as a way to approve the answer. And what then happens is that there's the preparation of budget of the official evidence to admission for master, with all the negotiations that go with it. And the finality is that then you have what we call the necessary provisional budget, which reflects also the continuing opportunity within the whole government situation that is together. This provides a brief overview of how the interface with broad government institutions is impacted within the FCC, located between the usual system. Briefly, this slide, I just want to say in brief, I don't want to go to the mathematics involved. We are saying in this slide, principal, we want to clarify one thing. Within a year, we see within 3 grand active. We look at the year and all that goes with it. We look at the year that's going, and we reflect and say, what do we want to be as a good planner? So that's the story you get with it. You have the in-year, the 3-year, and looking forward. And if you look at that, you see how then we actually, within any calendar year, we just suppose what we're doing in terms of with the ancestral world. And how we've been able to have some forward looking and some forecast within the discussion. We're going to get to the scale of how we do that. But those are the types of we look forward, you are saying you are looking backwards or looking forward. How do we do this? Firstly, if you look at the national strategic direction, which is present and is coming out of your medium term review, look at institutionalities, for budget system program of action. Then the DOD asks the question, what does this mean for us? Now this question is asked to show some application that is done, some exhibits, some evaluation of our annual report outcomes, and also the environmental analysis which are some of the information and compliance issues. That then, all that information, the message, the direction, or the directive given by the country, our internal appraisers, we take it then to the MOD certificate training session, where we say then what in real terms what does this mean for the community, it means the ease of direction. From there, this thing, it will be the accounting officer, then sits down and says, how do we interpret the minister's direction through a POV work session? We further then say, we acknowledge that we have both national and provinces within the COP. How then do we deal with this in terms of the interpretation of those directives from the various levels, from the levels of commanding and from the levels of accountability and providing the necessary resources and identifying them? And that is done through the subject and the creation of strategic planning. All of those inputs get consolidated when the training and budget is saying that it takes place in September, and then the minister provides direction on paper in terms of what he wants to see in the financial system. What are the internal control processes? Whatever will be forwarded as plans emanating from the planning and budgeting seminar, they are evaluated through our own national treasure, which is called the Superintendent Planning and Budgeting Committee. Certainly, where we actually look at the plans, evaluate the plans in terms of whether they talk to what it's supposed to, and we then look at their sunset and their views, and we look at the plans and the challenges during that period. And that evaluation within the internal control system, we also have our steering group, where we present our team, we argue our team, and we ask national treasurer to go and present it to this or not in other than contract. And we are then that can get facilitated in the medium term budget policy statement. Obviously there are some adjustments that are also always come, but whatever then we get, it has then to be approved by our big and huge MINEC called CBS. How do we deal then with the institution? When we will combine and take and make sure that it's efficient through again the CBS. Most importantly, and is required by law, but most importantly, we want our principals to know that the quarterly reports we are using also as a monitoring and evaluation to look at what seems to be the red light, what can be thought it has, and what it is that we need to be elevated in terms of what should be said. Well, this sketch actually gives the full picture of what I'm saying. That in September you have a planning and budgeting seminar, after which the services and the individuals go and prepare the plan. The plans are submitted around April, and in May they are submitted in April. We move the evaluation, we move the detailed rating and the screening for the policy. We spend them off, then they say that they carry the action, we get the screening with the internal controls that go with us. And within, then in June we have a proper procedure. The other one is technical, the determination and the screening. The other one is actually looking at the whole thing from a totality in terms of the funds flowing over.
If I may, Madam Chair, quote the Secretary for Defense, that must be the internal departmental scope.
And then, after that, then the claims are actually submitted after the whole claim is submitted. Right? And then that takes us then to the EMD. But we should be, most importantly, those claims then get submitted. And when they are submitted, what then one will see is the business claim, which then will get people
and then you heard it presently, and then you will hear about that. How do we deal with the alignment? I will be very quick to this one because we have already continued the other. As I've already indicated, we locate everything that we do within the National Planning Framework, which itself presents itself, located within the Regional Strategic Framework, which is operational run through the Cabinet of Hotline, which is the stage of the National Affairs and the National Strategy. In terms of control, as I've indicated, the Department does not compromise in terms of resources on the strategic planning and supporting plans. And supporting plans, you have the one that you with HR, with law, with ICT and finance. And then we report through the cluster system also. Now, our DOD planning framework is having five concurrent processes. One, we have to adhere to the national planning framework. We have an in-year process where we look at the approval of the DOD business plan and the support to plans by permanent, the execution of the plan, the quarterly reporting, the performance of the plan, and supporting plans. The third one, the two-year process, where now we have a complete two-year business plan and supporting plan. When we evaluate them, we look at the budget allocation, and we then present the figures as the intake and being compiled, and then you ultimately get presented by the form of the end. The fourth one is the medium term planning process, where we sit there and say, what is it that is happening so far in the national strategic direction? We dare reduce our environmental analysis. And we have the new chapter of the assessment, where we take directives. The DOD was especially where the directives are translated in terms of the department itself, and these are further translated in terms of clear meaning to the areas, to the chief of the area, and the secretary. But all those things then, they culminate in direction to the services and services that are planning in the budget system, which is exactly what I've already said. Then the fifth one is the annual report process, where we look back, we pull all the things together, and then we make it to the Well, again, this representation talks to everything that is said. That the first layer you have the cabinet, the cabinet of the process, January, you end and you then you have your stage of the meeting as well, so you have your budget speech. But at the top point then there will be a medium term review and then you have an end of the year. So in terms of the program of action, you have a way of evaluating that, evaluating how the DOD is responding to priorities, national priorities. Now the DOD in terms of the planning framework, in terms of the medium term looking forward, having the environmental scan, which then lends itself with the new Douglas session, the DOD was session in the second and the airport session, which gets translated in terms of clear directions of the planning of the trainer, which provides a tool for development of the plan, which are pulled together into a business plan, which is then created to subject to the one. This will be here, we look at the cost impact, we do a cost impact analysis. And then we have the basic business plans and budget. All that is taken to the project, where the technical and the evaluation. And in terms of the plans and the indicators for budget, then the budget is presented to the National Treasury. With all the negotiations that go, and then we end up then with the DMT. In the end, we have for the portfolio committee when we present our business plan so that we execute. We take our execution this year and we take that execution through quarterly reporting, which just quarterly at the end of June. We continue to execute according to the plan
person gets just coming on the 10th of June, then we sit down and check and check on everything, and we can make sure that on the 31st of August, we have DOT first quarter report. We then, according to our plan, our humble plan, will be presented to the first of the committee of the next day.
Last year we had a quarter of one quarter of the year, which was for the year in the international year. So in April this year, we are then in the second quarter of the last year in June, which is not a month, it's not 2007, it's 2006. Now in September we did the year that before, 2006, 2007. Actually, the whole country will be under our fourth. Our fourth is the last week, was in September. I want us to clarify this. Why, according to the region, is the animal going to be in September? So that's the reason why. Because when you get two double things, the review of the last financial. So when we ask for the resources, we're asking for the year that is going to end by the time when we're going to get there. And that's what I want to ask you to clarify, everybody's financial issue. Is there somebody can make a
question? May I just allow me just before she comes to this, can I have this understanding? After the 10th of July, when the start was started, the report must first go to the Secretariat Council, where the Secretary chairs, or to the Military Council, where the Chief chairs. Once it's been approved at those two levels, we take it to the next level, which is the DEC level, the Defence Staff Council level. Once it's been approved at the Defence Staff Council, then we are taken to the Minister. Once we have taken to the Minister, then we can bring it. And that's exactly the reason why you find that the quarter actually into the 30th of June may only bring the report to the 31st of August. Is because it's a lot of approving channels before we can come to the portfolio committee.
That
is taken.
There is a problem in terms of time frame, a short time frame for the process, just like our folks internally for you to come to. And we wanted you to tell us what should we do with it. Shouldn't we find a way of just taking a summary of the entire report to avoid you coming here and further coming up, you are not mentioned what the internal report unfolded and supported us. Well, I know it's very hectic for the government. I realize that there is short timeline in terms of the internal process and the time of the
No, I was going to say that in addition to that, what Mr. Petra was saying in terms of the internal timeline, there is also in between that period of the conclusion of the departmental timeline and appearing before you, the requirement to engage with the Auditor General and then to have them submit those statements, get them cleared and so on. And then there's a further process to have a printer's proof and ensure that the information that is there is that there's been consistency throughout as you go through different stages of approval. And then there's the actual printing. Then by that time we're in September, we're close to September, by which time the second week of September, then it must hit the table. As a proof read, approved by the Auditor General, approved by the Minister, under the Minister's signature, submitted to yourself and to the Speaker. For consideration of our annual report. So those are some of the real challenges. And if we have any one small glitch in that process, then derail the timeline to the
total amount. The next slide, Madam Chair, will give you the annual report for 2006-07, which we are busy finalizing now, which I've secured the date to brief the Minister this morning. And by the 15th of June, we must submit it to the auditor chair. That is next week Friday.
I just wanted to remember that the last
don't want to waste time on a regular appointment. Can we just come back? The court report originally was internal documents that were served as for the executive to keep performance. However, the portfolio committee from the role of oversight said they also like to be informed, and then the documents become a much more
popular. No, that's the relationship. You said the court of conscience. I made it very clear why you were.
No.
What,
we
get qualifications.
No, we respect that.
Because of that,
yeah.
We
need to take a case on the court of the court. No, Jay, I'm sorry, I respect that. All I want to say, then the audit committee wanted to see the auditor's course report, and then we bring it here in your role, etc. The other thing that I would like to say, in terms of the annual report, remember the annual report got complete financial statements that must be audited also by the auditor general. And the timeline of the first week in September is being prescribed in the PSMA. As a strategy application. So what you find is you're tabling up your city business plan and you're tabling up your annual report. Those are being prescribed in the CSMA, and that is not a government.
I know, I want the government of the government. I know those problems. You see, I need to reiterate why we said we want the government. The department has been consistently with the investigation, and I'm asking for all of you, including the public. Because it's not only you who look at the we ourselves who are seen as a witness of the too. We need to be front of that one. We have them to say, let's look at where the weakness is, to assist the department to make a recommendation, have this report come to, and have, when we deal with it, we make it very clear that the closed session, these documents are not supposed to be duplicated for anybody to say, because they are government documents. They are not meant for the public. That's why we do that. When we are having our presentations of the quarterly report. Because it picks up that the joint budget report, it reports differently from what it reports. Joint budget, they know what it's about to do here, but when we are sitting in the chamber and the joint budget report, what they report and what we have in the annual report becomes two different issues. And he says, let's not embarrass ourselves, let's support the department, let's understand what are the challenges. And only last year, when we had that type of reporting, a frank reporting, where the department didn't make recommendations on mitigation action that we take to remedy the situation, it's when we were at heart. Which is the consistency we will accept when we meet again in September. I think this is a clear point on that.
Thank you very much.
Then the preparation, the staff work is presented to the team, which takes
because we're supposed to make a presentation about supplements in order to change the programs. But what we need to do through that supplement period, we make sure that if there's any changes, they are communicated on time. But we rely on you having the program to make advanced preparations on all the practice methods that we involve in the end. If I can speak what all we have on the frustration of the systems that we have, what makes that issue, and no adequate explanation as to why we can't. At latest, on a Monday evening, we get a call that you know that that's the same kind. So the 28 days, one in time, we give you a year ahead, because at the beginning of the year, we give you our program, we give you the focus for the entire year. So, if, I don't know who is then to be responsible for checking on the stand, I don't want us to debate that one.
Okay, maybe in our front plan workshop, if we take it into consideration the Akatia, then we would even if you know where you plan and you are not clear of the subject, we may give them the problem for the year. Only to find that some of the things we put are not making an issue for them. I mean, we don't get the difference we are giving. But I'm saying maybe because this is another thing that's important, look at this. When we have it, then we can take it into consideration when we go for the transfer. Am I making sense?
Okay. Certainly, the problem is actually the motion. That's what happened. We left to see. Well, initially, I played the commercial, but our time-to-face value was only a couple of months.
Chairperson, you are telling on two legs. The one leg is to make sure that as parliamentarians we do our duty. We don't produce a parliament based on our decision. So that's where we insist whenever there's only a presentation, it comes in time. So that whatever we do here, we don't do it in a rush way, and we end up not producing complete understanding of what your presentation is about. But we do know that people will say, well, go to parliament and we just talk and talk and it's gone. If we can pass, it should be good to pass. So that's the one leg that we're talking about. We don't want to produce a weak parliament. But secondly, for an effective and efficient partner, if we don't monitor it, and we don't build a strong relationship with it's also weakened. Now, just as the president of the defense, we then agree through the other outside the defense that we're not producing anything and we're not doing anything. So, this is what is really kind of when you speak on report you on time so that members can be able to prepare and then members can be able to assist in giving some suggestions out of their own experience. But if you don't do anything, if you don't exchange experience, there's no way we could come here and have a good decision. So, the president is a vote on how we enhance it so that people can choose appropriately. Maybe the workshop that the committee is presenting is something that we need to do. But also, it goes along with the steps. Because if you don't come to the strategic workshop, then we have a problem. Well, what goes along with that, who presents? If the sector continues to not presenting and coming to attend what we are saying, it breaks the relation. But we are not willing to treat that as a subsidiary out of what we are. We are not interested in that. If it doesn't occur within that preparation, then it doesn't prepare according to what we have suggested to you for a year, it does break the relationship. And it does mean that as a parliamentarian, we have to defend our own interests. There's no way we're going to allow ourselves to be like a small and forgotten group of people somewhere between the work of the process. And then priority becomes information access more than the work that is done. And then when you run short of money, you know where we are. You come here and tell us that you don't have money, and it will help. And we carry that. We really want to support the process financially. And it seems that sometimes people
requires clearly that the minister tends to forget. The minister could be there, he can talk good for you, but at the end of the day, we are responsible for that person. And that's the relationship. He participates, he implements what we have agreed upon. But now we've been trying to be nice, but at the end of the day, we don't want to stick to the position of four persons of this, we're going to our responsibility. The whole institution of the partnership, we are such a bunch of people who don't know what they're doing. That's where the relationship comes to a standstill, and we pull out our sister fighters. So we're undermining parliament and undermining the students. That's all.
The quarterly report that Slicing has for the three quarters. Your footnote. The fourth quarterly report is a dramatic form of the annual report. Is it possible for to submit to this committee the fourth quarter report, 1st of January 2008 to 30 March 2008, by the 31st of May 2008? In other words, have a fourth quarter report. Because in your quarterly report, you're not only reporting on your operational aspects, but also on your budget. And I think it's necessary also to separate your fourth quarter from your annual report. That's my first question. And number two, on your second quarter report, it says you must submit it to the portfolio committee on the 5th of 18 December this year, which is longer than the other two quarters after the end of the quarter. Can't you bring it forward for 3 weeks like the other quarters by the end of November? Thank you. And my last question, on your national planning framework, where does your strategic business plan interact and talk to your national planning framework?
Some plans we talk among the income plans. And it's presentation to the controller of the for July. And she BFMA and other requirements to September. It's one question because then the second. No, but that's what it was. On the slide. Then we can go back to the annual report slide, the annual report. Because we know it will come in September. But we have a problem, maybe we have the oversight from your part. Yeah. So if you can correct it, that's what that is. And then it's fine. Then I want to share with you the factor of this. Is it a trend you go through every year, and you are up to speed with the trade, everything required, or this, what you are presenting to us, the idea, is something which we call it the visual confidence and expansion. You have to do it for the purpose of presentation, yeah, because you see, it is a combination between the ideal and the real. I may go with this thing. And because I'm also a soldier, I feel myself in accordance with the planning setup. Then I end up fighting the department based on what I think they have to do as required by another PMFA or government, or government department.
May I start off to say that the request of the third quarter report brings back 3 to 3 weeks? Yes, we can do that. We can take the same time scale for us to get through the process. So what about the fourth quarter report? The workload of the annual report is of such a nature
that it's very difficult to duplicate the work, to run a fourth quarter report as well as annual report, because we still have only that amount of planners in the department. That's the reason why we have request our executives, if we can collapse the fourth quarter report to bring it in with the annual report. So I'm just like to put that on our table. I mean, if we are being forced to do it, yes, but we got the capacity problem to run those two projects simultaneously. Then it's the business plan. Now let me get those quickly to that one with a different, yeah, I think that. What's happening with the strategic business plan? What you find is in our planning, you will see there we take the ministers work session, then we take the different work sessions, then the people go through a process. Remember, this is happening actually in 0-2. Then in the year 0-1, we went to the DPVEC, where we really go and look at that thing, 0-1. And then in July, we have already submitted now the 5 options. In July, you submit your options to Treasury. Treasury is taking that to the Mincom, but that is being discussed. Then in September, you go to the MTC, the Media Service Expenditure Committee, where this is being discussed with all the inputs of the Mincom. And then they make the final allocation in October, so that you can finalize your ESE, your Estimate of National Expenditure, so that you can finalize your strategic business plan. And I think what is important in this case is that the portfolio committee can engage in any of those stages. But what's important for this is to realize, once we finalize the ENE, it will be difficult to make any changes in your strategic business plan. But if you like us to twist the direction of the department, then typically that is after the DPVEC that is being done normally in July. And then just after that, before we actually go finally in the MTEC and then maybe in the final allocation. That is where you can put that. I think, Doctor, I've answered the other questions that you have. Then,
right on top there, you've got the national planning framework. I missed a square there, a triangle. You say the previous year's strategic business plan works into that national planning framework, into the DO planning framework, and the annual report and the strategic. Or otherwise, at the very bottom there is the SDG, that one, the Parliament. How does that influence into the following year's planning, national planning framework? That's, I'm looking for that thing. And when I talk strategic business plan, I'm talking measurable objectives, because this is what we look at Parliament. How did you perform against your measurable objectives the previous year? I need that link.
So that when you look at the financials, also look at the objectives. That's how we never have a system of discussing when it comes to the level of measure to get those things. I think I'm just your point.
Thank you for that.
For instance, we're moving away from just the auditing financials, but to look at the position in terms of the public audit. We be able to make sure to see how we go and actually in any other context we want to do. I think it's something that we
one of them made a very good point. We need to find finish that's why I need to be. So I think we're taking note of that point and we'll be good. Good. Okay. Is that to the annual report one? I just want to answer Mr. Monari. No, next one. Next. Next one. Second. On that annual report, chairperson, what is important here is to remember it is correct. We must table the annual report on the first week of September. But what this was, is to give you informed, before we table it, that you are being informed about the annual report, so that when, once we table it, you already got the knowledge, and you can make
sense.
So that was not actually wrong. It was actually right the way that we put it there, but it is, that is a proposal. And then the last question was, is this just theory or do we really follow this? I can say to you, and we are very proud of this, that our minister is personally involved. Our minister this year again, for the next cycle, already now for 2000, the minister had a work session, then there was a duty work session, there was already the secretary's work session, and the chief work session is on the planning now. And then in September month, we're going to issue the guidelines and the accounting officer's guidelines. So the department, really every year, follow this process and we revise everything here on terms of the previous one. That's why you say when you see the environmental analysis, we are taking all of that previous years also in consideration to make adjustments and how to improve. And at the secretary's work session, we actually took every guideline that he was given and he held every division chief accountable if they execute what he expected them to execute. So I think there's really some improvement in this to bring alignment between performance also. What is well a challenge at this moment is the way that we have defined our performance indicators, and therefore the secretary at this moment personally takes responsibility to help us, that we can put the balance scorecard down as a tool to help us perform.
Okay. No. Not controversial. Part of the planning issue. We don't want. We can easily be tempted as a bit to get into that, and that's not what we want. Because it's not part of our responsibility. That's the reason. Because usually when we get involved in that discussion, we'll ask many questions which we not part of the representative and we will not be. So we need to. The separation of power. No. What about that? I think they are going to.
Of the state to work together.
government or public, and make sure that the agents that they are accountable to the citizens who are paying our salary. I think the flow in terms of how we engage, I think we are also happy with the progress we're making in the department, and I think we continue to engage and put us where we differ or where we have views, you know, we continue to keep with it. But we also appreciate the hard work we do to try and improve on the situation of the department and keep up the country. So thank you very much for your support. We are inviting you for lunch. It was the last time I made a speech. I'm not inviting our government officials to lunch. We are invited to lunch. And members, I'm also happy that women should be in the delegation. Two of them. Last time they were British, nothing. Harvard, Europe. There was very sharp. No, Commissar. I could not see natural women. Maybe they were women in the natural women, I could not see them. I know that those are women, but they dress like men, but I could not see the natural women. So, thank you very much, Coach Natch. We will address many other issues at the Natch is the old assembly, like dining hall. Natch, or international assembly.